Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
On-demand audio.
Here's Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Illinois has not had a gas tax increase since 1990. And while other states are passing us, and literally passing us on the road, we need to be investing in a fundamental strength here in our area, in our metro area, in our state. That is why we're calling on the lawmakers when they convene starting in January and start to work on a number of issues that have not been addressed over the years, calling for an increase in the gas tax by 20 to 30 cents. We're also calling on the lawmakers to index it to inflation. If you take the lower range of the 20 cents, and since we haven't raised it since 1990, that would just be about equal to what inflation was since 1990. That's just catching up to where we were.
Oh, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel wants to catch taxes up from 1990 because, you know, Illinois is a little bit behind in the taxation department. Good grief. Illinois Policy's Adam Schuster joins us now. Adam, it's the taxes keep mounting up. The responsibility of those taxes keep going to the same places, and we still don't seem to have rectified the issue facing us in the first place.
That's absolutely right. I mean, there were good parts of that speech as well, which I hope we have a chance to talk about.
Yeah.
Rahm did endorse a constitutional amendment on pensions,
mm-hmm.
Which is sorely needed, a little bit later than I would have liked him to do it.
But he's talking about this constitutional amendment regarding pensions. This is a really big deal, too. And Rahm Emanuel came out and said that it is time that we actually do this. This is the way this works. The pension system is set up right now that legislators would have to invoke a constitutional amendment to modify how the pension system works, is dealt with in the state of Illinois. It's not something that the legislators can just do on their own. Well, they'd have to vote on it, and then it has to go on the ballot. And then once it's on the ballot, it would have to come back to the voters. So we would decide whether or not we wanted to invoke this or not. Obviously, this is very, very strongly opposed by the unions. They don't want anything to change. They don't want anything to look different than it did before. And without that constitutional amendment, we are going to continue to be down the same path. Nothing is going to change. And Illinois will continue to spiral down deeper and deeper. That's a problem that we absolutely face. You mentioned the constitutional amendment thing that Rahm Emanuel also proposed, and I was talking a little bit about the way the state is structured. Without a constitutional amendment voted on by the voters in the state of Illinois, nothing is ever going to change. So it's a really steep hill to climb to get to the point where we could actually affect the pension system in our state. Maybe you can lay out for us a little bit about how that would happen, and then also why it's so necessary that we do it.
Yeah, so the reason it's necessary is because pensions are taking up a larger and larger share of every government budget in the state of Illinois. That includes Chicago, it includes the state of Illinois itself, and it includes municipalities and park districts and schools around our state. They're crowding out our ability to provide core government services that people actually want, things like infrastructure spending, things like education, social services, you know, things that people actually see value for. And so if a constitutional amendment happens, what the Illinois Policy Institute supports is an amendment that would protect the benefits people have already earned, but allow for slower growth in the future rate of accrual for those benefits. So in other words, if you're a retiree and you're getting $4,000 a month, that amount doesn't go down. And you still get a COLA, it's just not a guaranteed 3%. It might be pegged to inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be some skipped COLAs to allow inflation to catch up with the increases you've got in excess of inflation so far, but we wouldn't take away anything you've already earned. And when people talk about pension debt, it's important to understand that number, it's up to $133 billion now, includes the projection of the cost of future benefits. And so what that means is if we reduce the growth in those future benefits, we can eliminate that debt over time.
So let me ask you this. The income tax hike that was just approved just a year ago or so, how much of that income tax hike has gone to help address the pension problem?
Well, there's no way for us to tax our way out of this, okay? I mean, the contributions are going up according to a set schedule. It's not like they took any of the income tax money and made additional payments on top of what was already scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is that in order to, you know, really, in order to tax our way out of this, you're talking about like a 35% tax increase on top of what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
We already have one of, if not the highest, combined state and local tax burdens. People are voting with their feet. You know, you and I are here fighting for it, but some people have already given up.
Yeah.
And so another tax hike would make it, you know, just completely unsustainable. So tax hikes should be completely off the table as a way of dealing with the pension solution, or the pension problem, rather. And the solution really needs to focus on making sure that the pension benefits themselves are affordable and predictable, but also sustainable. Because if these funds go insolvent, if there's no money in them, I don't care what you write down on a piece of paper in the Constitution, if there's no money in the funds, they're not going to be paid. And right now, we're on a path where the liability increases each year, and fund insolvency is a real risk.
And that's the frightening thing. And the biggest problem here is that we're talking about people who have not been living extravagant lives, people who have given themselves to public service over the course of the decades of their careers, and they did it under the promise that when it came time to retire, that there would be something that they were given an expectation of to be there. And it's been mishandled.
Sure.
And like you said, as much as there's been a promise to fulfill this for these workers, these individuals that are our neighbors, they're our teachers, they're the people who protect us and keep us safe, and provide a clean and comfortable place to live. These are the people who have been lied to. They're going to be the ones who suffer the most if something doesn't actually change. Am I right when I say that?
That is so right. I mean, what they've been sold a bill of goods by politicians. They've been told that they're going to be receiving these extravagant benefits that nobody in the private sector gets, and the politicians never had a way to pay for them. And to be frank, that's because there is no way to pay for them. There's no economically responsible, fiscally responsible way to pay for these pension benefits. You know, I mean, there's 70 people just in your area, and I think you know this,
yeah.
70 school retirees in the Belleville area who've already received over $1 million in pension benefits. And that 3% compounding post-retirement raise doubles somebody's retirement benefit over the course of their retirement. So in 25 years, if they're getting, you know, I don't know, say $80,000 today, by the end of their career, that'll be at least $160,000.
I'm looking,
and that'll happen regardless of how much inflation there is.
And I'm looking at the top 10 earners. This is an IllinoisPolicy.org article, and I'm looking at a chart on this article. We've shared it from our Facebook page. I shared it last night, actually. And here's the question I have for you. There's a list of the top 10 earning pension millionaires from Belleville area
yep.
schools. Is there any way that the information that has been presented here, and it says the source is from the Illinois Teachers Retirement System, is there any way that the information that is provided in this chart with an orange header on the top, that any of this is anything other than factual? If there is a story to be told here, is it being told 100% by facts on this chart?
100% factually correct. That's straight from a Freedom of Information Act request. The data comes directly from the Teachers Retirement System itself. Anybody could file a Freedom of Information Act request with the Teachers Retirement System and replicate that information on their own. I should note that the Illinois Policy Institute has a quality scholarship guarantee. We haven't had to use it yet, but if somebody can point out any factual errors in our research, we would immediately post a retraction.
Okay.
We haven't had to do that.
So I'm looking at these top 10 earners, and these are in the Belleville area schools. And, you know, the retirement age on all of these, the youngest I see here is 52, but they're all in their 50s. And the top
mm-hmm.
earner has received so far over $2.5 million. And this is the thing that makes me fall off of my chair. He contributed, or she, I don't even know who, if the first name, contributed less than $300,000, retired at age 56, and has taken out over $2.5 million. And here's the thing, Adam, and I have some comments on my Facebook page that I want to read to you and get your reaction, because I can react to it. But one of the comments is, you're aware that teacher retirement is funded by the teacher, not tax dollars, right? That's a real comment on this article.
Complete misconception. The public sector unions in this state have been pushing propaganda for decades, and I really do mean propaganda. There's no other way to put it. It's completely misinformation. So a few things to know. First of all, the average retiree contributes about 4 to 8% of what they get over the course of their retirement. That's a return on investment that no one in the private sector could ever hope to get. You know, somebody, the woman you pointed out, the annual benefit received is double the total contribution during the course of the entire career of that employee.
Wow.
Okay, double in 1 year.
Yeah.
And this is one of the fundamental problems with the way our pension system is structured, is that the amount of money you get is completely unconnected from the amount of money you pay in. There is no place in the statutory formula that even considers how much money you put in. It just looks at what the end of career salary was, your years of service, and you get a calculated benefit based on that. And whatever contributions you have not made to cover that benefit is entirely subsidized by taxpayers. On top of that, a second point to know, I have to get updated numbers for you, but it's about 2/3 of school districts in the state pick up the employee share, some or all of the employee share of their contribution. So while they are supposed to be making at least some contributions to their own retirement, many of them make no contribution at all to their own retirement in certain years because their school district, which really just means taxpayers, is picking up that share. So taxpayers are double funding teachers' retirement through the state taxes, because the state currently pays for teachers, the employer share, mm-hmm, of the teachers' retirement system, and they're also paying for the employee share for many districts.
So that
is just a wrong comment.
Can I hold you over for another segment? Would you mind holding? Do you have time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sure, I'm going to put you on hold because I've got some people who want to ask some questions that are holding, and I'd like to take their phone calls because this is a really important thing, and I think there's so much confusion on it. I want to give you an opportunity to speak to the information that the Illinois Policy Institute has put out, and I think it's really important. So I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get you back on the other side of the break.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. We've been speaking with Adam Schuster from the Illinois Policy Institute, 314-241-9797, if you want to give us a call. Adam, thank you so much for bearing with us here and staying over for an extra little bit segment here, because this issue is such an important one, and it certainly is one that I think has a lot of confusion out there among the people it benefits and the people paying into it.
I think that's totally right. There's a lot of confusion out there. There's a lot of, you know, diametric black and white thinking, and there's a lot of people who try to demonize anybody who talks about pension reform, mm-hmm, and lie and you know, act like we're not compassionate about government workers. I just want to mention briefly before we go on, my father is a 30-year career firefighter. My aunt is a teacher, and my stepfather is a retired tollway driver, all of whom receive public pensions. And my goal is to make sure that their retirement security is protected so that they can have comfortable retirements. But I want to do that in a way that doesn't bankrupt the state and drive taxpayers out of the state.
Yeah, completely. And I think it's also worthy of note, and it's also in this article that is shared on our Facebook page from the Illinois Policy Institute, that the people that deserve the frustration and the blame are not the teachers. They're not the firefighters. They're not the police officers, these public servants. That's not where the frustration needs to be aimed. It needs to be aimed at the people responsible for funding it, who were supposed to fund it in the first place, and the people who have the capacity to do something about it going forward.
Yes, there's nothing wrong. I mean, barring people who've, you know, taken advantage of certain loopholes like double dipping or spiking, that they've done something sort of unseemly, for, you know, 99% plus of public pensioners, they haven't done anything wrong. They took the deal that was offered to them. The problem is our politicians who can't think beyond the next election, who set up a completely unsustainable, unaffordable, and frankly ridiculous system that they never could have funded and did not plan to fund.
Yeah, for sure. I want to read to you one other comment here before I let you go. And I kind of responded to this on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. But the reason why I want to point this out is because the comment was made from a place of admitted, and I'm saying ignorance in a non-discriminatory kind of way. He just didn't really know. But he said, yes, exactly. And he said, I'd have to do some research because I'm that guy, but I could have sworn that teachers pay into their own retirement and therefore are not eligible for Social Security, etc., and don't figure into the pension problem at all. And he says, like I said, I may be wrong, but I'll look into it. So I commend him for asking that question, because if he thinks that, there's a horde of other people out there who are confused about the language when it comes to pensions and what is a pension and who qualifies for a pension and how does that factor in when it comes to Social Security and other things that we private sector individuals pay into. So what's your response to that?
Yeah, so I think there's actually a kernel of truth there, but it just needs a little bit of clarification. So just to clarify the terms up front, pension just means any retirement benefit. A 401k is a type of pension plan. We just usually don't call it that. It just means retirement benefit. What we're really talking about here are defined benefit pensions versus defined contribution pensions. And the difference there is in the first, the benefit or the amount that you'll receive is the part that's set in law. And in the second one, the amount that you pay in is what's set in law. And then you just get whatever you and your employer have paid into that fund. He's right that the teacher's retirement system typically is not eligible for Social Security, but that's because of the benefit levels they've set. So the way it interacts with federal law is, depending on how high your benefit is, you either are or are not eligible for Social Security, but that means that they also don't pay into Social Security out of their check each month. So that part of it is true. It is not true that that means it does not factor into our pension debt. The teacher's retirement system is by far the largest portion of our pension debt. It's about 57% of the total unfunded liability, and that's because there's so many people in that system. Now, pension reform could happen in a number of ways. It could happen in a way so that going forward they are on Social Security, depending on the benefit level you set. Or if they still would prefer not to be in Social Security, that just changes how you create the benefits, right? But all of that should be negotiated with public sector unions. We just need to agree on the math, agree that this is unsustainable, and agree on the basic framework, which is constitutional amendment, protect what's been earned, change the system going forward. And if we can agree on that much, then I think a negotiation with the people who are affected by this sitting at the table is the right way to do pension reform.
Real quick before I let you go, Adam Schuster with the Illinois Policy Institute. If you're a new teacher, if you're a 25-year-old, you got your first job in the state of Illinois and you're paying into a pension program right now, would you be concerned that you're ever going to benefit from that at this point in time?
I would be very concerned, especially if I was a younger worker, that I would be getting no pension benefit without reform. It's typical of government unions and the way they negotiate things that older workers are prioritized over younger workers. And in this case, the older you are, the more likely you are to keep receiving benefits at existing levels. But if you're a younger worker who's further away from retirement, there's a real risk, and this is not, a joke, there's a real risk that these funds will go insolvent. J.P. Morgan, an analyst there, thinks that bankruptcy is the only way out. We're not saying that. We think there's still a way that we can get out of this with reform now, if we're forward-thinking and, we do it the right way now. But we really cannot wait any longer. We're pushing hard to get a constitutional amendment on pensions on the 2020 ballot, which is the next time voters can vote on it, because the longer we wait to solve this problem, the worse it's going to get for the people who are relying on that money.
Well, it was good to see Rahm Emanuel, after he talked about a 20 to 30 cent tax increase per gallon of gas. It was good to see him come out and support that constitutional amendment. And hopefully we can come together as taxpayers and people, because teachers and these public servants, they're taxpayers, too. So we got to find out a situation that helps us all. And the Illinois Policy Institute's always working for that. We appreciate that, Adam. Thanks for coming on today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.